안녕하세요, 여러분. The Happy Project 오신 것을 환영합니다. Welcome to the Happy Project Podcast.
안녕하십니까.
I am Becky, and over there is Cedric Sky City. And you are tuning in once again to this podcast. So thank you for being here today.
We are so thankful that you're here.
Yes. I'm sure you've tuned in last week and know exactly what we're talking about. let's see. Well, anything new in the land of Coco?
Let's see. What's been going on the last few weeks? Oh, you know, the same one. Just doing our
Just
daily hustle.
Doing our thing, what we do.
Yeah.
Cooks.
Yes.
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you think you have an accent? When you speak English.
When I speak English, I know. I think I have the most neutral way of speaking.
Do you?
I do think so.
Do you?
Yeah. And I feel like when I was in Korea, right? Like everyone would compliment me on my English, like the Koreans, because like… Everyone could understand me so clearly.
Oh.
And I think that's because I didn't lean heavily into one accent or another.
Did you always have a more neutral American accent?
No, I used to talk like this, you know, because I lived in North Carolina. And, you know, everybody around me, they just kind of talk like this. My dad, he kind of had an accent too. It didn't sound like this. And I'm exaggerating a little bit.
A little bit.
But…
Oh, I mean,
No, that was not it, girl. But you've heard me with a Southern accent a little bit, right? You've heard some audio recordings of me.
I have.
Back in the day. But I think that left me once I moved to New Jersey.
Cooks, you didn't really talk like that.
I leaned that way. But it wasn't that strong. I'm exaggerating.
I heard you one time speaking publicly and I did hear it.
Yeah, but I definitely… it was… I clearly did have an accent, I would say.
Yeah.
That was… that would place me down south.
Yes. Yes. Well, both of us speaking in English have very distinct American accents.
Yes.
Right? I've heard that my way of speaking, people are like, where are you from? Your accent is funny. And I'm like, I don't know.
Thanks.
I think I've collected all of the voices that I've heard throughout my life.
Yeah.
From
you say words, certain words.
Some
funny.
Words I will say in a not native English American way. But accents are funny things, aren't they? Sometimes they're very
fun.
So
many of them.
So many. And accents are also another cultural marker. We talk about cultural markers often, but having a certain accent, a way of speaking, maybe a certain vernacular can give it's a mark to who is listening to you. Ah, you belong to this social group. You belong to these people. You belong to this place. It's a way to kind of make it distinct between certain groups.
Yeah.
Having accents.
And it's a way to make judgments on people too.
That's right.
Yeah. Good or bad. Usually
exactly.
Bad, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, think about it really. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people will hear a certain accent. Somebody who's speaking in English, they have a certain accent. It can come off as, oh, very attractive. I love that accent.
Oh, yeah.
Or very ridiculous. Depending on what your perception is of that accent.
Exactly. Or they speak really slow or with a certain accent. Oh, they're not as smart. Or they speak with a, you know, certain posh accent and mm-hmm. they're very intellectual. You could just tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a great misconception.
Which
in
is
the
obviously
US.
Not true.
The misconception is that all British people are very intelligent because of their accents, right? And this is the thing. It all stems from somewhere, that society or whatever mainstream collective consciousness that we have that dictates these unspoken biases we have certain people, right? Towards people. So, accents. That being said, sometimes you work really hard to get rid of an accent, right? Because you don't want to be judged a certain way. Or you work hard to gain a certain accent because you want to belong to a certain social group. And the truth remains, no matter which language you are speaking. Because let's say I speak English and I'm trying to learn Korean, then there might be a distinct American accent when I'm first learning this language.
Yeah.
Does this happen? Have you heard this before? I'm playing coy.
Are you asking me?
I am.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously it goes both ways. Like, And it's funny because when I speak Korean, I'm even more self-conscious of having a non-native Korean accent, you know, but it just happens. Like some words are like very spot on, but then other times it's just like, ooh, that's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It just, it
it's
happens,
like
especially when
you
you're
can't
learning.
Even control it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you've been known and when you speak Korean to sound quite native.
It depends.
Yeah. It does depend, of course. But you're very good. But I think that's because you're also good at languages.
Having an ear for it. Yeah. But it is funny too. So when I was in university in Korea, there was one girl I was very good friends with. But so she was Chinese and we would communicate to each other in Korean because she didn't speak English and I didn't speak Chinese. So we would communicate to each other in Korean and her Korean was also very good. But one thing I remember during this time was that instead of saying 알아, 알아요, she would say 알라. 난 알라, 나 알라, like that, right? And that always stuck to me how her pronunciation instead of 알아 would be like 알라, right? And I guess it is her Chinese accent creeping out in her Korean speaking. And that is very distinct in my mind.
Yeah.
And so it can be the same thing, of course, like you, like me, when we are learning Korean still today, there will be times where it's like, okay, that was a very strong American English accent that came out in that moment. Because accents just take time to adjust. You're shaping it. You're learning. It's a new way to move your mouth. And that is literally all it comes down to.
Yeah. The shaping of your mouth and how you use maybe your throat and, you know, just those little technical, physical things.
Yeah. I took a phonetics class in school and that was so interesting to me. I had so much fun learning that.
Oh, yeah?
Because there's like a phonetic alphabet, right? So you can write out what it should sound like.
Mm-hmm.
So using little marks and lines and dots and stuff.
Does that cover pretty much all languages?
So you could effectively write it for all language.
Wow.
How to say, pronounce a certain word even if it's not in English,
mm-hmm.
right? So loved that class. But anyway, why are we bringing up all of this? We received a listener mail and I'll just read it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So it says, hi, I'm Hafi, currently going to university in Korea. I've been trying to learn the language, but anytime I speak anything to my family, they seem secretly disappointed over my English accent. So my question is this, how did you manage to lose the accent? Did you speak without an accent from the start or did you have to develop a Korean accent over many years? I really loved your video over language learning. It made me feel so much better about my monolingual guilt, but I was curious about this aspect.
Wow. That's a great
question.
Yeah, question. And I guess let me just start first because I know like she's referring to the video you made
mm-hmm.
on the languages. But I think I can definitely relate to you and your DM a lot because I feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've felt, at least growing up, I don't know if I felt like maybe some sort of a secret disappointment. But I think that is also because my family, they, and in the Korean social group, they were like Korean Americans. They were, you know, they immigrated. And they sort of have their way of speaking and they're used to Korean Americans, how they speak. But mm-hmm. like, you know, even in Korea, like, I don't think I've really felt the disappointment side. But I know for me, I had the insecurity of sounding like, oh, this isn't like a true accent mm-hmm. or like, you know, they can hear my English creeping out. So for me, I don't know. I don't think I've necessarily coped or managed that just yet. And so I'm pretty much here to say I relate to you
mm-hmm.
and I haven't quite figured it out, but I think Becky might be able to offer a little bit more insight from her perspective because again, she has really put in the time and the practice for the Korean. And so she helps me to not be so insecure. So I think I will listen to you and see what you have to say. And maybe it'll help me too.
Yeah. The accent is really a big thing, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember in my early stages of studying Korean, my teacher would say, oh, you have such a good accent. Like you can't even hear that it's not native Korean. And it would be certain phrases. It'd be like, oh yes, spot on, perfect. And then the moment I say something else, they're like, what happened there? Right. And that's just, you know, that's just comes with practice. But definitely the reason why I experienced the accent as it was like my giveaway you know, especially depending on what I was wearing or who I was with, I could be passing and people would just say, oh, she's just a Korean girl here. And it's like the moment I open my mouth and I say a certain phrase that wasn't quite right, my accent gave me away. And that can feel sometimes disappointing, right? And you're like, stupid mouth, like say the words right. But I acknowledge that it can be hard to lose the accent. And to be honest, there's a lot of people that have lived in Korea for many years. There are a lot of people who live in the US for many, many years and tried to pick up a new language and never lose the accent.
Right.
Never. And I don't know, I mean, how many times are you going to look at somebody in the US who has a slight accent when they're speaking and point it out to them?
Right. I mean,
you're not American.
Right? Generally, I think we are definitely much better in America with that. Though, I mean, it's still like it comes to people's awareness.
Right.
Like I think about someone like Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Who came from Austria. His native tongue is German. He has a thick accent. Everyone knows the accent, right? But he's lived in America far longer than Austria at this point, even to the point of becoming a governor of one of the states, right? But my first instinct isn't to look at him and like, oh, that accent, he's not really American.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I think we've come to accept that there are so many different accents and even people who learn English, as long as they can clearly articulate and get their message across, I think it's easily acceptable.
Right.
Yeah.
In Korea, however, it's a little bit different, isn't it?
It is.
Because the moment you hear somebody has an accent, your first or gut instinct or just, I guess, social cue would be, ah, not Korean.
Exactly.
Right. And the thing is, it's, I mean, it just has to come with primarily Korean being the primarily used language. And accent is just, it's just another marker of saying, I'm Korean, I'm not Korean. Unfortunately, that's kind of how it is at the moment. Even if there are people who have been born and raised in Korea their whole life, but attended international school, let's say, and never learned Korean fluently, this could be another case. But yet the accent may haunt you. That being said, just be, I would say like, shake it off. You know, this is just a matter of time and practice. It's not actually anything innately what you're incapable of. And in a way, you kind of have to grow a thick skin, right? Of course, I had an accent before and I still do in many ways. But you will develop a Korean accent over the years, especially if you listen.
Yeah, that is key because that's a good point because a lot of the words that I'm able to, you know, I feel like I could say like fluent or sound native. Mm-hmm. Maybe not many words or phrases, but there are certain phrases like it's because I've just grown up my whole life hearing them.
It, yeah.
Right? So those tend to be the easier ones to sound more native or less of an accent, I should say. Because I don't know if I can pass for native with some of the things, but definitely like fluent in some things. So it's just because my mom just, you know, I've heard it and heard it with the Korean music and Korean TV, dramas, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I, you know, I do want to say, because you write that your family may seem secretly disappointed over your English accent. So I don't
know. Maybe not so secretly, if you're noticing.
Well, I don't know if that is nuanced for like, I feel like they might be disappointed or if there's something that they're giving away. Or maybe it could just be all in your head. Mm-hmm. You know, because that could be a thing. Like maybe you're just all in your head because of your insecurity. And I say that because I'm the same way. Mm. Like I get in my head and I'm like, oh, they look at me differently or they're judging me. When in reality, they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not thinking twice. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, I don't know what your situation is or what it actually looks like, but you know, you can consider the possibility of it just stemming from your own personal insecurity.
True. Yeah.
And I don't know if I were someone, you know, living in Korea my whole life and my family comes from, say, the States, or I'm not sure exactly where you're from, but comes from somewhere else, you know, and they're a fellow halfie, or they're a halfie. Like I don't think I would have this expectation of, oh, they need to sound exactly like me. But again, people are different. And Korea is a unique case too, in many ways.
I think because language is so key to getting close to people, having that language is the way, not I mean, in English as well too. It's how we communicate, and as we communicate, we get closer to each other. But especially with the Korean language, even just having a certain phrase like, oh, let's speak comfortably to each other now. Right. That is an indication that now we are closer. Saying 친구 or 오빠, 언니. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These are verbal cues that we are now, our relationship has become closer. And because the language is so vital to expressing this to each other, when we don't have that language and we don't have that skill, people might feel a little awkward or a little bit unable to get close to you. They might feel that initially.
That's a good point.
Right? So in regards to a family, I really don't think it's most people who are not looking at you disappointed. Oh, you don't speak Korean and feeling disappointed. Might be just like, I wish we could be closer.
Yeah.
And not being able to express that. That could be one thing. It is true. There are definitely those who express disappointment if you cannot speak Korean, and they might genuinely be disappointed about that. But that is something that's out of your control if you did not grow up speaking Korean, especially as mixed Korean. So I wouldn't take that to heart. And as with any language, it can be scary, especially speaking with family. I mean, I'm really telling you from personal experience, it's hardest to speak to my family in Korean. Mm. So I just wouldn't hold, like, you can't read their mind. You don't know exactly what they're feeling or thinking about you either. Your job, learn Korean the best you can. And then maybe one day you could have these conversations with them. Ah, wasn't I so awkward when I was speaking Korean at the beginning? Ha ha, you can understand me well. Now I understand everything. And you know, and that's a way to get close to each other.
That's very well said.
Oh, okay.
No. Especially like the part about, the feeling of not potentially getting close because, you know, and I'm sure since you're studying in Korea, at mm-hmm. university, you're probably already aware of just how uniquely tied the social hierarchy or relational hierarchy is to language. Mm-hmm. It's inseparable.
Mm-hmm. It is.
In Korea. Like in American or Korean American circles, it could be a little different. Mm-hmm. But in Korea, it's 100% tied.
Yes.
You know? So like you can know where you stand by how you speak to one another.
Exactly.
And you can know if you're like casual friend level or like, you know, older brother, little sister level. Like it's all built into the language.
Yeah.
So that could be another point of, yeah, maybe they're mm-hmm. just not super comfortable because they don't know where to place this relationship dynamic
yeah.
due to language.
Right, right. And you know, whatever they may express disappointment, oh well. Like your job is still just to learn the language, to do your best. And thing is, relationships surpass language. Ultimately, they'll see your heart and ultimately they'll see who you are, whether you speak Korean fluently or not. That is the biggest hope, right? Just one last quick anecdote before we sign off, speaking of language. When I was studying years ago, there was one guy. He was much older than me. And he was actually Zainichi, now that I look back at it, Japanese Korean. And however, his Korean was not fluent. And he would always speak to me with very, very formal language because I think this was the Korean he learned in Japan. So he learned very formal Korean first. So I was younger than him, you know, I was always like joking around, but he would use very formal language with me. And even I, who is not a native Korean speaker, still I can feel those things even at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I felt just like a little awkward with him, even though he was trying really hard to be my friend, you know, but he would use like, 그렇습니까? 합시다.
Like that's right? Super
very
formal.
Very formal. And it would just kind of make me feel like, I don't know. You know, I don't think we can because, you know, it's kind of built into the language. So that's just something to keep in mind. But thank you for writing us in. And the other quick, I guess, tips, language is a lifelong experience and you'll learn more and more and more. Don't give up. Remember how children learn? They make millions of mistakes over and over and over again until they finally get it right. And they have no shame or fear. And that's how we should be when it comes to learning language too. Okay, anything else, Cooks, you want to add?
No, I will give you an amen to that.
Okay.
Thankful for that.
Yes, we're so thankful. All right, thanks for that email, for that DM. And anybody else who wants to write in, you can of course write in at thehalfieproject@gmail.com. gmail.com. And thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next week. We are The Halfie Project.